This week's episode of Mega 64 Movie Club is brought to you by IHOP. IHOP with the new IF menu. Everyone's got an imaginary friend, but that doesn't mean you have to have an imaginary meal. Come into IHOP and get the new IF menu where you get blue pancakes, purple pancakes, and Ryan Reynolds wrote the jokes on the menu. So you can pick up a short stack and Ryan Reynolds wrote, "Did I just order that?" underneath it. Go and get eggs and bacon that isn't going to be imaginary. Go to IHOP for the IF menu if you happen to be hungry.
It's also brought to you by Olive Garden with the Garfield menu. Do you like lasagna as much as that cat? Do you want to fuck lasagna just like Garfield? Well, you can at Olive Garden.
They should do a foreign film version of American Pie, and it's called Italian Lasagna.
Yeah.
And the kid fucks lasagna.
Garfield.
He goes to the students, and they're eating lunch. Well, you know, in Italy, what are they going to have for lunch? Pasta, yeah. Lasagna. And some kid's, you know, fingering the lasagna.
Yeah.
And he goes, "Hey, Giuseppe, this is what a good pussy sounds like."
You went all right, too
Shakers,
far
let's
you
get
went,
to it.
You went too far. You did too much, and I'm disappointed.
Oh, I'm not allowed to tell. Okay, freedom of speech is dead on Patreon.
That's what I'm
That's
saying.
Dead. That's dead. See, this is why I like X.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want on X.
I'm a big freedom of speech guy, and I can say that on X.
Yeah.
I can't say it on Movie Club.
No, I won't allow it.
All right.
If there's Truman fun show. Being had, I'm going to stop that. Did you ever think that when you were a kid, like when you were doing something that was like, this is the most fun I've ever had, whatever it may be. There's always an adult who stops it. It's like, guys, yep. We can't be doing this. It's like, yeah. I've never had more fun in my life. And you're telling me I can't do this?
I remember specifically going to the beach one day, like, hey, we're going to have a beach day. And it was my family and their family friends came. And their kids were the same age as me and my brother. And we dug super deep into the beach, and we were like, oh, we're going to make a fort. Mm-hmm. And it was so much fun. We were all designing our own little stations.
Yeah.
And like the second we thought it was done, they were like, guys, we got to go. Like we're done. It's like, you said this was a beach day. We were here like an hour and a half.
Ugh.
And it was that. It was like, we built the coolest sand fort thing. And I remember thinking, could you just give us one more hour so we can enjoy what we made?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't want to be in the sun.
Mm. See, and
I just remember
that.
Thinking.
But let me tell you, as a parent, I think now what things like that am I fucking up?
Yeah.
You know, what shitty core memories am I giving to my kids?
Yeah, where it's like, exactly.
Oh, no, we got to. I'm sure your dad, if he knew that you'd be talking about this in 2024, be like, oh, fuck, yeah, yeah. Have another hour. Go ahead, guys.
My dad wasn't involved. It was just my mom.
Sure. Then Nancy would be like, go ahead, Rocco, my son, I love you so much.
Yeah.
But.
And it was not my mom that made that call either, by the way.
Oh, well,
other,
who am I blaming?
It was the other mom.
Oh, other mom. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, you don't even know who that is.
I do. I can give you all our info.
Okay, well, I'll pass on the info. Thank you, though. Right. Anyways, welcome, everyone, to Movie Club. We are covering the 1998 Jim Carrey movie, The Truman Show.
Yeah.
Did you see this in theaters?
I'm trying to remember if I saw it in theaters or on video.
I think I saw it in theaters. I'm pretty sure.
I was excited. I think I did. I was excited about this one. I was, you know, I walked a weird line with Jim Carrey because I thought he was a funny guy.
Right.
I remember kids at school bringing up Fire Marshal Bill and stuff like that. And, I'm like, I'm not watching In Living Color. What are you guys talking about? And then I would see the sketch. It's like, okay, that guy's really funny. But I wasn't into like Ace Ventura. That like shit annoyed me.
You know, Ace Ventura was
I didn't like
a
any
little
of that.
Too much for me.
Yeah.
But I loved Dumb and Dumber.
No, I didn't like that either.
And I loved Liar Liar.
Yeah. The Mask had was over the top.
That was cartoony enough.
But it had, well, it was just a special effects revolution at the time.
Right.
Where it was like, how are they doing this stuff? Mm-hmm. So that kind of got me interested. I didn't hate The Mask, but I just wasn't a fan. I didn't hate Liar Liar. I saw that. I didn't hate it, but it just wasn't all my thing. But yeah. The Mask was weird enough that I kind of dug that. But that was the extent of it. But this, the concept was so good.
Yeah.
That it was, I couldn't deny it. This is the kind of shit I was chasing as a kid. Is like, oh, his whole life is a TV show. Perfect concept.
Which I
amazing
think
concept.
Is like, people think that. You know, people mm-hmm. do think that, like, I don't think it's also because of this movie, but this movie didn't help anything. But people do consider, like, think, like, what if my life's a TV show? Who's
filming? Yeah,
you know, like,
yeah.
There is a, I think there's a type of, like, schizophrenia now labeled after this movie because of, like, what, you know.
People, Truman Syndrome.
It's something like that.
Yeah, but it was so, that it tapped into something. That concept was so good.
Yeah. You know what's funny is that I remember the trailer thinking, this is going to be so fucking funny. This is going to be the funniest movie.
Yeah.
And it's not a comedy.
Not really.
I mean, it's, I mean, not really at all.
He's funny, but he's a funny man. He's a funny man in a serious story.
Yeah, but yes. You know? It's if anything, it's a darker comedy, more on the drama side for sure.
Yeah.
But it's not what you were, it's not The Mask. It's not Dumb and Dumber.
Any humor in this movie comes for the ridiculousness of the concept.
Right, but
not like 100 gags a second. Yeah. It's not that.
Which is kind of what the trailer led me to believe as a kid. I kind of like
it. Thought it'd be funnier?
Well, yeah. They definitely used the Jim Carrey star power of what he was known for.
Yeah.
And showed that in the trailer. Because I watched the movie, obviously. But I watched it with the family. But Emma's boyfriend watched it with us.
Uh-huh.
Who had no knowledge of what this movie was.
That's
in
awesome.
The slightest.
That's awesome.
He didn't see the poster. He saw absolutely nothing, and we turned it on. And we're probably 20 minutes in the movie, and he goes, what is this movie about? What is going on?
Yeah.
And I've never thought of, he said that and like blew my mind because it's like, oh yeah, everyone who sees this movie knows what it's about already.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But when you don't know what it's about, this is a completely different experience.
Yeah, especially in that context, if you don't know, let's say you don't know anything, it's really good at breadcrumbing it.
Yeah.
It doesn't just kick off. Welcome to the TV show about Truman. It's not that. You're wondering about the camera in the trash can.
You're, in the beginning, they kind of show you like, talking heads of them talking about the Truman Show.
Yeah.
And there is an intro, but it doesn't mean anything to
you. It doesn't explain the conceit in
nothing.
A second.
No, it does not.
It's really making you go, what are we doing?
Yeah, what are we doing? And then camera in the trash can. But it's like, so it's a lot of weird like camera shots. And I think if you just walked into this blind like he did, it's and then like, what? What?
Yeah,
what?
Yeah.
The light falling from the sky. And it's like, what is happening?
Yeah. Yeah, it's some pretty cool breadcrumbing happening there.
Yeah.
Well, you talked about that you saw it and you were kind of, it was kind of like not what you expected.
Right.
You know, I had kind of a negative experience with this too in a different way where it wasn't that. The humor to me, it was about where I expected. I mean, I don't think you're wrong. I mean, I do see where you're coming from. But when I was a kid, I was so into the concept of this that I wasn't really worried about the humor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, if it was serious, I would have been fine with that. To me, it really, I when it ended, I was kind of like, it was my first experience as a kid where I felt like, you know, I actually don't know how old I was when this came out, but it was my first experience where I was like, did I see too many trailers for this? I kind of felt like I knew every note of the movie. You know what I mean? And it ended, even the final shot. I mean, you know, we're spoiling the movie. Whatever, you guys.
You know, when you watch this.
Even the last shot, him like going through that door and all that. I remember like I saw that in the trailer.
In the trailer, like, you see that.
It was the first time I ever thought that, where I was like, maybe. I was so into, you know, any movie that I was excited about, I would watch any piece that came my way. Oh, a new trailer for the new Mario Brothers movie is, oh my God, I gotta see that. You know, Ninja Turtles movie coming out. Oh, I would eat every morsel, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, this one, it was like, felt like I already saw all that.
They really did show you everything.
So I kind of just moved on. and didn't really think about this movie ever again. I just kind of like, yeah, all right. I did, you know, I didn't hate like, oh, I hate this movie. Ah, you know, it really was just like, I left just kind of like, oh, maybe I kind of ripped myself off there a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then.
Now, have you seen it again since or?
Not until this.
Really?
I had never seen it again until
really
this.
Well, now I'm really excited to see what you have to say about this because, I watched it as a kid. Not again until I think I maybe watched it like, 10 years ago with like Emma Beckett. Maybe. I don't remember. But then, I didn't really remember it. And then I put it back on one more time to watch it with like kind of fresher eyes just to see what I thought now. And I will tell you, I had a completely different experience watching this movie now than I did when I was younger, for sure.
Yeah, I definitely dismissed it immediately as a kid. Like, damn, I got ripped off, kind of. That was my feeling. So I just went, and never thought about it again. So I definitely was like, I owe it a second chance. I owe it another chance instead of just feeling like a ripped off kid.
Yeah. Now, go ahead.
I say kid. I was probably 12 or something. I don't know how old 98. I was.
We were 14.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I always think this came out earlier, but no, you're right. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's funny because this came out the same time as Pleasantville, which is a very different, I saw that in theaters as well, but there were two movies that they were different than when I watched the movies.
Yeah.
Like, the movies were very, like, oh, I don't understand what trailers are anymore. Yeah. Like, those two movies, and they came out the same year, fucked me up.
Pleasantville I also saw then, and that was a revelation for me, too. The Truman Show was the first one where I realized you can watch too many trailers. And Pleasantville was the first where I detected something. I'm not going to talk too long about it because this is another movie.
Sure.
But I don't hate Pleasantville either. I didn't hate the movie.
No.
But movies that there's a certain energy some movies have where they try to push your buttons. There's movies that naturally do it, and then movies where they're trying hard to do it.
Right.
And Pleasantville does have that energy of trying really hard to push your buttons, and it kind of turns me off. It's like I have some sixth sense for it where I'm like, you're pushing a little too hard. You're trying, and I can taste it. So that turned me off a little bit. There's pros and cons to both of these. Our reality is television movies, but Pleasantville has a lot of good things going for it too. So, namely Jeff Daniels.
He's in that?
He is. Yeah. He was the guy who looks forward to painting his store window.
Oh, that's right.
But there's a little bit of edgy, trying a little hard edginess to that movie.
Oh yeah. Also, I didn't get it. I mean, really.
Yeah, you know, sure.
Like, people becoming color.
Yeah.
And, someone would walk. Like, I mean, I forget if it was a guy or a girl that walked into the bathroom for a second and they came back and they're in color. I'm like, I don't get what happened. I don't get what happened.
Yeah.
You know, but.
But this movie doesn't have any of that energy.
No.
This movie isn't trying. It's just telling the story. And I do appreciate that sincerity. As opposed to, like I said, Pleasantville is trying a little hard to shock you. A little bit too hard. Still not a bad movie. Whatever.
I will say that with this movie, and I don't know if I should wait to the end, but I'll just say it now. I remember hating the ending. Yeah. I was so like, that's it? Like, go on. You know, whatever. Yeah. But now, as an adult, it's just like, well, that's where you don't find out about his life anymore.
Yeah.
Like, that was the end of the show.
Yes.
And now you are no longer privy to what happens to him.
Yes.
You know? And that's kind of a beautiful statement, honestly.
Yes.
But as a kid, I hated that.
I agree, but I have more complicated feelings.
Well, let's get to the plot and then we'll go into our
comment. No, I'd rather jump around out of order.
Go ahead. You can.
Confusing.
That's fine.
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. Do you want me to go through the plot today or do you want to do it again? What do you think?
I'm done.
Okay. Selected from birth and officially adopted by a television studio from an unwanted pregnancy, Truman Burbank is the unsuspecting star of The Truman Show, a reality television program, which, by the way, wasn't really a thing. Mm-hmm. Reality TV now.
Yeah, isn't that funny that they were 3 years early to that, kind of, you know?
I mean, truly.
Because, I would say about 2001, that's when you had Survivor. I remember that it was 2001. I remember seeing commercials with Tenacious D singing the Osbournes are gonna be a new show. Yeah, yeah. It's the Osbourne family show. And I can't believe I remember that.
Me neither.
And it said the world's first reality sitcom. Hmm. And it's so funny because they thought that was like, whoa, that's some genius shit. And now it's just every fucking
everything. But I remember like The Real World was kind of like the first reality.
They really even though it was, they were the setup and the spike came later.
Yes.
You know, but sure. Real World was the beginning.
Because that was the first reality show. I mean, I used to watch that as a kid and, you mm-hmm. know, every summer or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they were on it. Also, the same year or maybe right after that, EdTV came out with Matthew McConaughey, which is a very similar concept to this, but he knows he's being filmed. And that, but that's, again, a reality show about following someone who, like, it's so weird how that always happens where it's like, movies come back like side by side with each other.
I remember coming down the escalator of GameWorks in Las Vegas and a guy with a microphone was talking to everyone in this packed arcade. We've got all kinds of giveaways today. And my dad was at the front of the escalator, was the first to come down. We were all behind him and he came down. Sir, if you can name the band leader on the David Letterman show, we've got a prize for you. It was like trivia
set up for your dad.
And then my dad was just like, yeah, Paul Shearer or whatever his name is. Not Paul Shearer, Paul
Rudd,
Paul Giamatti, whatever.
It's not Paul Shearer.
Paul Shearer's a comedian.
Yeah, he's a
Paul,
comedian.
Paul, fuck. Anyway, my dad said it and then he was like, you won a copy of the EdTV soundtrack. So we still have in the Bodie family home
in the vault.
EdTV soundtrack, the only copy I think in existence, because I don't think anyone else.
You know, so next time I go over to your dad's music library, which is expansive, I will try to find that soundtrack.
EdTV. Like, never seen the movie, but EdTV.
Give
me
a minute. I'm going to find the EdTV soundtrack. And I hear it's in here. I'm going to find it.
Ed Sheeran should do a new album called EdTV.
Honestly?
It's like, this is my reality show.
You know what? I'm sure you're not hip to the Ed Sheeran albums, but he always does like math symbols. On his things,
yeah,
it's like
he's
the
a fucking
division,
dork.
And then the time to do EdTV. I agree. I agree with
EdTV
you.
Plus me.
Way better than
fun.
The vision symbol, Ed. What are we doing? Speaking of Ed Harris in this movie.
And yes, 10 out of 10. Love him.
Love Ed Harris.
Ed Harris enhances any production.
And we just talked about this with The Abyss, but goddamn, I love Ed Harris.
Yep.
Something about the way he talks, I just feel like I'm safe with Ed Harris. I don't know why I feel this way.
Yeah.
But anyways, I'm all over the place.
He's a strong force in whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, Westworld, it was just like, this guy knows shit. Mm-hmm. This guy you know what I mean? Like, you know, when he shows up, there's an expert.
Yep.
In the room. 100%. Good or bad.
Okay, so he is the star of the unsuspecting show. He's the Truman Show. A program filmed 24/7 through approximately 5,000 hidden cameras and broadcast worldwide. Kristoff, which I think is a funny name, is the show's creator and executive producer and seeks to capture Truman's authentic emotions and give audiences a relatable everyman. Now, it's funny because I feel like where a reality TV show is now, I could see something like this. I mean, not to this extent, but something like this happening in some way.
Yeah.
Pretty much, honestly. I mean, they know there's a camera there, but like I've seen these like YouTube families who film their kids for views and they start from birth and they go on up and now their kids are 13 or 14 in high school and they're embarrassed to be on these fucking things. Yeah. And it's like, you know, but I've seen a life has been documented now, maybe not 24/7, but it has been documented at this point.
Yeah.
It wasn't back then, but it has been now.
What is your feeling on that?
I hate it.
Yeah.
I absolutely hate it. You know, I mean, not to say I've never posted videos of my kids or...
No, because I feel like that's, well, they're part of your life.
Yeah.
They're going to be in a video or something fun to share.
But they're not my content.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, they're my kids.
Yeah.
And sometimes, maybe they're in Boysenberry Fest because they had them that day. You know, that's a fun thing.
And also, some kids want to be in a video where they're excited to tell a story. Hey, record this.
Right.
Okay.
But
that's different than, all right, let's wake up today and get content.
I see these things, and it's like, it's always these dumb challenges things where it's like, this kid can't eat sugar for 24 hours, and if she does, she gets to do a 5-hour shopping spree, and dad has to buy her whatever she wants. Like, fuck off. Like, all this shit is gross. Or it's things like, I've seen things where it's like, okay, guys, make up a name that's similar. Paxton is sick. And it's a shot of the kid like barfing. It's like, take care of your kid.
Yeah.
Don't film this upload it. Like, what are you doing? Like, no.
Yeah, I feel like when the kid is the content, it's like, gross. Damn, they didn't get a choice on
it's
that
one. It's fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
Is how I feel about it. But
unless you're that Ryan's World or whatever, that kid. That's a gold mine. I say exploit it.
You know what's funny is I don't know what that is really.
Ryan's World.
I know what it is.
He's been 8 years old for like a decade.
I know what Ryan's World theoretically is.
Yeah.
But like I've never, my kids never watched that one. I've just avoided that whole
situation. He's a gold mine and he's not going to be fucked up later.
No.
So that's what's cool about it, I think.
Yeah.
Just mine that well dry, I think. That just is going to work out.
There's one group, and I'm not going to name them by name because that's mean.
Uh-huh.
But I will say, if you want to look into it, they did a collab with the Aquabats in one of those, like, you know, we did those little things. They did one too.
Yeah.
And my kids got hooked on watching those. And it
was. I know
like,
who you're talking about.
And I was like, hey, we have to stop. I can't do these kids anymore. And they're the worst. And this is terrible. And I hate the parents and I hate this whole situation. And yeah, those are, they have a lot of fucking money because they get millions and millions and millions of views, but it's not worth it. I swear to God, it's not worth it.
Yeah, not everything is worth views. Who would have thunk it?
Nah, you know what? Who would have thunk it? They do have a lot of fucking money though, and their house is pretty big. Fuck them.
I didn't know their house was big.
It's
a big
house.
I take it back. We need to get back. We need to get back in touch with child labor. Like we have been. So
I'm pretty sure Republicans are working on
they
that.
Can't
I think they're working
to,
on that.
Oh, you just made a political.
Oh, politicians.
Ugh.
Truman's hometown, Sea Haven Island, is set inside an enormous dome populated by the crew members and actors who advertise products to both Truman and the audience, which was a gag. I don't think I fully appreciated it as a kid.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you do a little bit, but it is very funny how like those two men keep pushing him against the billboard or like the so you can see the sign. Like I didn't think I picked it up as a kid.
Yeah.
That was all the way. The elaborate set allows Christoph to control almost every aspect of Truman's life, including the weather to prevent Truman from discovering the truth. Christoph orchestrates scenarios that curtail his desire for exploration, such as the death in quotations of his father in a sea storm, which was so fucked, you know, like watching that thing. It's like, dude, you killed off his dad because you didn't want him to travel. But like, you
got,
and the thing, you know, made him fair with the water that did work. But like, what a fucked up thing.
You see how from the beginning they've been manipulating everything. Kind of thing
and there really is no, you see, there's like, oh, you don't care about him like at all. Like this is like to kill off his father, even though it wasn't his real dad, like is such a fucked thing to do for ratings like that, and that is insane. And they constantly, the newspaper always stresses the dangers of traveling and the virtues of staying at home, which I thought was always funny to see in the newspaper.
Yeah.
There's a lot of little gags in this. You know, just saying, a lot of little visual cues. During his college years, Truman, although written to fall in love with and marry fellow student Merrill, develops feelings for Sylvia, who was an extra. Although Sylvia is fired from the show before she can disclose the truth to Truman, he secretly continues to dream of a life with her outside of his marriage to Merrill and hopes to travel to Fiji, where he is led to believe Sylvia moved. In the real world, Sylvia Jones joins a Free Truman, an activist group that aims to cancel the show and have Truman released. Okay, that's a lot. I just went through a whole lot. Rocco, what are you feeling so far watching this movie with that?
I mean, watching all this happen, I think I was reaching, you know, halfway through this movie, I started to have the realization that I may have placed things in the wrong, what am I trying to say? I always thought maybe I watched too many trailers for it.
Okay.
But we're halfway through this, and I'm kind of like, maybe it's just predictable.
You think so?
Yeah. Not that, again, amazing concept. But I think everything so far was kind of like, yeah, okay. You know, they want him to fall in love with a certain person, but he falls in love with a different one. They're trying to shoehorn advertisements in, which I do think is a funny gag, like through the thing where they're telling him about like, hey, Truman, you want for breakfast a delicious box of so-and-so cereal, you know, whatever.
Man. Half the calories and none of the sugar?
And none of the sugar? Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'll have a bowl of that. Like, that is a great repeat gag.
Yeah.
But it's all kind of stuff that, like, yeah, you tell me the concept, I'm going to expect all that, you know? And so I started to think like, yeah, maybe it's just that feeling. And maybe it's just that haunted me. That these are kind of things, yeah, if your life is a TV show, you would expect to happen.
You know, I think
that started to hit me about halfway through.
I do think that this movie changes tone for sure. Mm-hmm. And it almost becomes a different movie halfway through.
Yeah.
Because... So I'll say that, like, you know, as the show approaches its 30th anniversary, Truman begins to notice unusual occurrences around him, which we mentioned, like the spotlight falling from the sky, the call in the rain following only him because it's malfunctioning, the radio channel in the car talking about where he's going. And you know, there's a lot of things that he's seen.
Yeah.
But what
yeah.
really does it is that he sees his dad who sneaks onto the set.
Yeah, that is a great punch moment, too, where the homeless guy, is the homeless guy asking him for...
The homeless guy is his dad, right? But yeah, but
But I forget who approaches who.
I think he approaches Truman. Yeah.
Okay. Asks for money, and then he's just like, "Dad." He has a minute there. That was a great, like, you know, just sucker punch out of nowhere. That was really, really good.
Really good. So, anyways, Truman becomes suspicious about all this. The elevator thing, like, you know, everything's just all fucked up, and he's seeing like. Maybe it's all happening at once, or maybe this has always happened, but he's just finally putting it together and noticing what's going on.
Yeah.
Truman's suspicions lead him to spontaneously drive off Seahaven Island with Meryl in tow. After a series of improbable disasters, he attempts to continue on foot, which he is subdued by people in protective gear. Back at home, Truman openly questions Meryl's feelings for him as well as her attempt to change the topic by advertising a product, which is funny. In ensuing confrontation, Meryl breaks character and is removed from the show shortly afterwards. So that all happens. It's so much, obviously. But then once he breaks, I kind of feel like it now becomes Ed Harris's movie.
Yes.
And it's like you see him in the control room.
Yeah, it's him trying to right the ship. Yeah.
Right.
Like it becomes.
And Truman kind of becomes, he's still the main focus, but it is mostly from Ed Harris's point of view. Yeah. And then we get. Who do we see with him? Paul Giamatti. Did not remember he was in this movie.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Love seeing Paul Giamatti as well.
Yeah.
I never thought we'd get a Ed Harris, Paul Giamatti collab, but here we are, baby. Yeah. Living the good life.
Finally got
We're eating good. hoping to bring Truman back to a controllable state, Christoph reinduces the father figure to the show under the guise of him having developed amnesia after a boating accident. The show regains its ratings and Truman seems to return to his routines. But one night, Christoph discovers that Truman has begun sleeping in his basement. Disturbed by the change in behavior, Christoph sends Truman's best friend, Marlin, to visit and discovers that Truman has secretly disappeared through a makeshift tunnel in the basement. I thought that the friend always coming in with a six pack any single time was a funny...
Yeah.
Like there is one, like he's visiting him in the morning, like Truman, he's like holding a six pack. Like he's just like, that is just like, that's his character piece.
Yeah,
that's his
prop
that he always has is a six pack of beer.
Yeah. I thought that was good.
And then they realize that he has escaped and they don't know for the first time in his whole life, they don't know what Truman is doing until they find him. So Christoph orders a citywide search for Truman as soon as it is forced, which by the way, when they break the, they make it day to night.
Yes.
Super cool.
Yeah. And I also, where were you?
No, go ahead.
All I was going to say is like, this is kind of what I was hoping that would, like, this part of the movie really starts to cook where it's now shit is flipping. The tables are fucking flipping.
Yeah.
Day to night. Yeah. We're going to turn night to day and day to night, whatever. And, you know, all the extras stop in place and we're like, the whole thing is fucking breaking.
Yeah.
And I think I was kind of hoping this kind of shit would happen earlier. Mm. Like it would be, how do I even get through this? Like the now they're like maybe the first half of the movie is the realization that where he is. And then the second half is just every fucking thing you know to be true is wrong and broken and fixing it. And I kind of feel like this didn't come till the end. You know, it was kind of all the expected stuff until now. And but this part I really love, you know. That's why I guess my complaint. I wish it would warp a little earlier.
Yeah, but I think it also is important to establish what his life was before it does get all fucked up. And you do need to see him normal, and then you have to, you know, maybe the build of him figuring out took a little long.
Sure.
But yeah, I know what you're saying. The one part I think of this whole thing, which is the most unbelievable, which is it's an unbelievable story, is the fact that they built this gigantic dome in Hollywood. Because that... You tell me you do that in Utah? Okay, you can afford that property.
Yeah.
That's a big fucking thing to build out in the middle of fucking Hollywood.
Yeah, I would think it would be in like Beijing or or like somewhere in China with a ton of land or something like
somewhere.
That. Which I think that's what they did, Ed Harris, shout out. But I think that's what ended up happening in Westworld.
Oh,
I think
really?
It ended up being like near China, maybe like off the coast of China on like an island or something. I don't think they revealed that till way later on, but it was like, it's like somewhere with a ton of land that wasn't being used. You know what I mean?
That makes sense.
And yeah, they made it when they finally got through all that, it made sense. Like, oh, it's somewhere that there isn't any other kind of resort or anything like that. And they could just use all that land, you know, whatever. And so anyway, but yeah, this being in Hollywood, it was like, oh, really? Okay. This is next to Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles, you know? Like, what?
Right.
How are you making that?
I feel like, you know, there are a lot of ways you could have ended this movie, or you could have, you know, you could have maybe had the ratings bad and the show gets canceled, and then what happens?
Yeah.
Like, do you have to tell them, like, hey, by the way, our show was canceled, that you have to go?
Yeah.
Like, that's, what do you do? It's so, whatever. But so I'm glad they kind of went this route with it. And honestly, it's creepy with them, the whole entire town looking through the city.
Mm-hmm.
And then seeing like the sunrise, and it's just like, it's like, oh, it's fucked up. Like, this is not going well.
Yeah.
Then where am I? Christoph temporarily suspends the broadcast for the first time in its history, leading to record viewing numbers. Christoph orders a citywide search for Truman and is soon forced to break the production's day and night cycle to optimize the search. Truman is found sailing away from Sea Haven, even though he has that water phobia. But he has since conquered his fear of water. Christoph resumes transmission and creates a violent storm in an attempt to capsize Truman's boat. Truman nearly drowns.
And they're trying to stop him, too. They're like, yo, you're going to kill him.
And,
like, isn't Giamatti saying that?
Giamatti's stopping him. And then Ed Harris does not give a fuck. He's like, no, like, he doesn't care, which is insane.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that's the thing. Is like, who can watch this? Like, who's watching this being oh, this is a good... This is
how lost in the sauce that Ed Harris is, that he's just like, no, maintain the show at any cost. And it's,
but, you know, they show you people on the outside watching the show.
Yeah.
And they show you about maybe seven people. And it's always like the same. You keep seeing their reactions.
Yeah, different vignettes of people around.
And there's people who, like, operate a Truman bar, it looks like, and it's like the show is always on, and everyone's like, it's decked out in Truman stuff.
Yeah,
there's this, you know, the woman he's in love with, Sylvia.
Yeah,
there's just a guy in a bathtub, you know, but like,
yeah, that was my favorite.
These
one.
Two old ladies who are watching, you know, people like, you know, sleep with it on. It's like, it's always on for them, it's a source of comfort to have Truman there. They're never alone. Anyways,
that was a smart move, too, to show what it meant to people.
Yeah, you know? And you see how people's lives are impacted by that. Truman nearly drowns, but his spirit remains unbroken, and he continues to sail until his boat strikes into the wall of the dome, which was another cool shot, I thought, of all of a sudden it just, like, gets calm and it goes right into it. Instantly horrified, Truman looks around and finds a staircase leading to an exit door, and is contemplating leaving. Christoph speaks to him directly through a speaker system for the first time, encouraging him to stay and claiming that there's no more truth in the real world than the artificial one. After a moment of reflection, he utters his catchphrase here, which I thought was a great ending.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with him saying that dumb thing, but he says it again. Yeah. In case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. And he bows to the audience and exits. And then, I mean, I thought how it was great. So it's like a big moment. You see that girl, Sylvia, running down the stairs, maybe going to find Truman. He leaves. You don't see him again. And then it cuts to, I think, these like guys in the security booth, like, what? Let's see what else is on. And like, like,
yeah, that was the perfect shot to end on.
It's like, it's over.
They could have had him go through the door and it ends there. And that's what I kind of thought I remembered it.
Yeah.
Having it be guys on their break. All right, you want to see what else is on? Perfect.
Right? It's like there's perfect. No part to any of it.
Like, hey, at the end of the, like, some people's lives, their livelihoods, their pathos, their everything that's happening in their lives to be in entertainment, to make it to the top of the stack, to produce the best show, to whatever. Let's show the end result of it.
Yeah.
You're watching TV during your break. You know, like, that puts it all in perspective in a way that was, like, kind of amazing.
And
like,
I will
just
say,
like, perfect note to end on.
Not to Truman's level, but we are, a lot of our lives have been documented. You know, we've been doing this for such a long time, and you're watching this, and, but then after this is over, you're going to turn on something else on. You know, like, this is what this nature is with entertainment. It's like,
Yeah,
we'll entertain you for an hour, and then you'll go about your day and do something else, you know? And so after this, you'll go, what else is on?
Yeah, showing that at the end was really, like, was funny and poignant in a way.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
It was. Do you know who else was considered for this role?
Oh, shit. I thought I heard this at some point. I think it was George Wendt, I think, was going to be Truman.
Oh, I didn't see that.
No, I just made it up.
I was like, really?
I just thought George Wendt from Cheers would have been really funny.
That would have been great.
Yeah.
Norm. Robin Williams was considered.
Okay. Okay.
And they almost cast Gary Oldman as Truman.
Hmm. Which I'm sure he would have been great, but I can't really picture
Me
it.
Me neither. But after they saw Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, they thought that the people making this movie were reminded of Charlie Chaplin. And so they said, you know what? This guy is so physical. I think he'd be a good person.
Yeah. Robin Williams could have done it too, because he could have brought that like stunted adult kind of quality to it, or, he's been like coddled his whole life. He could have done it.
Yeah. I think Gary Oldman, obviously, I think could have done it too.
He could do anything.
Right. So
yeah.
It's like saying Daniel Day-Lewis, like, okay, well, I'm sure he could do it too.
You think he could pull it off? Yeah.
Yeah. I do think that... here's the thing, is like when they wrote this movie, it was supposed to be a kid who was just out of high school.
Yeah.
But they got Jim Carrey and they kind of changed it to like maybe a person having a midlife crisis instead of like a high school thing.
Yeah.
A little further
that's
on
good.
In life.
Yeah.
Which was good. And I also the whole thing of like, when are we going to have a baby? And it's like clearly they're trying to like get that storyline going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's just, not happening because there's nothing between these two.
Yeah.
Laura Linney, who I always like Laura Linney.
Yeah, she's good.
She's always good. Something about her makes me think that like she's always up to something though. I don't trust you all the way, Laura Linney. I think it's because she laughs and she talks. I don't know what that is. She kinda does that.
Like she's always trying to pull one. Yeah.
Yeah. She's pulling one. Yeah.
She's in Love Actually. Oh yeah, we watched that for Movie Club.
And yeah.
She she's trying to sleep with a coworker. So she's always up to something.
I'm telling you, dude. Yeah. This movie, the budget was $60 million. And it made $264 million. So this was a huge hit.
I didn't know it was that big. That's
me
cool.
Neither. Me neither. I don't know really what else to really talk about it. I just thought that the idea that, I guess originally they were going to do it like a New York City type place.
Okay.
But I thought it felt more sci-fi or, more like 50s, almost Pleasantville status.
Yeah.
If they made it Sea Haven, a fake town. But everyone, it is kind of Pleasantville-y. Where it's like maybe 50s themed, inspired, what she wears, whatever. So,
something that I thought was kind of interesting is that Jim Carrey was like, the hottest actor at the time.
Yeah.
Or in the 90s, especially. And it was just standard $20 million paycheck. Like that was what.
Damn, that's what he was getting.
If you want Jim Carrey, you're getting $20 million. And that's back then. Good God.
But everything he did made hundreds of millions of dollars, and you're going to recoup that. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. But for this movie,
he said,
if it's a dramatic role, I'll charge you 12.
Okay.
He's like, listen, you know what you're getting with a comedic role. You know it's going to work. Drama, you don't. So whatever.
Also, I think he probably wanted to start doing dramas.
Yeah.
And
so he was willing to eat it.
He's like, yeah, like, let me, I can do this.
Yeah.
Which he could. He did, and this was, I think, a perfect drama segue. Because, you know, you see Eternal Sunshine.
Yeah.
And it is not like, which again, I will pick someday. But it is not like this actor at all. This is closer to the Dumb and Dumber role, I think, than the Eternal Sunshine role. It's like the midway, the halfway stop.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Also, fun fact, Ed Harris and Jim Carrey never met while filming this movie because they were never together.
Wow. So
there was no need for them to.
Yeah.
Which I think is fun.
Ed Harris doesn't talk about the production of this movie because he also, just like The Abyss, he also drowned for hours at a time.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
he felt bad, so he went in to get Jim Carrey out of the storm, and he drowned. He won't talk about it. That's all fake.
Is it Brian De Palma, right? Scott De Palma. What's his first name?
Brian De Palma?
Brian De
Palma. Who directed Scarface and stuff?
Yeah. He was originally going to direct it.
Oh, really?
But then
people
they were looking into to see if they want to do it was Tim Burton, Sam Raimi, Terry Gilliam, David Cronenberg, Steven Spielberg. Like, all these people were like given the script, like, hey, would you want to do this?
Yeah.
It's just interesting that and I guess Bryan Singer wanted to direct it, but Paramount decided to go with a more experienced director.
He was hanging out with some young boys that week.
Oh,
couldn't direct
my God. But it's directed by Peter Weir, but I don't know what Peter Weir did.
It doesn't ring a bell to me. Peter Weir. You. I do know. One thing that did surprise me, though, was that the score of the movie was done by Philip Glass, who did like the Koyaanisqatsi or whatever those movies are. Paukatsi.
I don't know.
Guess what's coming to Movie Club soon?
Oh.
The Paukatsi trilogy.
Oh,
get ready.
I'm ready.
Paukatsi films, they were produced, not overly directed, actually directed by, but produced by, I think, Coppola, maybe George Lucas, too.
Mm.
And they are movies with no narrative that are just footage. They're just footage of people doing shit.
Okay.
Set to music.
Okay.
And it's weird because you'll watch some of it going like, is this really what the whole movie is? And then you kind of go through things of like, whoa, you're seeing the way people do stuff, but without the talking, makes you kind of reflect a little bit. Like, oh, wow, people do this?
There is something.
You know what I mean?
Well, like, I feel like, you know, we did Rear Window a while ago, but like that movie, like the idea of being a voyeur to be like a perv, that's not interesting to me. But the idea just to watch someone go about your daily life is like, yeah, what?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Like, it's a movie where it's kind of just people watching for a couple hours.
I'm not opposed to people watching. Like, yeah. I do get interested in that.
I think we should watch one for Movie Club once. Maybe. But anyway, Philip Glass has a famous score that those movies are just, he scored, I mean, an hour and a half of just his music the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a famous composer, if nothing else, for those, you know, like his music is like, soundtrack nuts are always like, oh, Philip Glass, you know, whatever. Mm. So I didn't expect him to do the score for this. That was kind of surprising. And it's good. The music's good.
Okay, I got the Peter Weir filmography.
Okay.
I'm just going to start from, shit, dude. The Last Wave in 77. Gallipoli. Gallipoli.
Yeah.
Don't know what that is. The Year of Living Dangerously. Witness in 85. Was that Harrison Ford? Maybe? I don't know.
I think so.
The Mosquito Coast. Dead Poets Society, I have heard of. Green Card, Fearless, The Truman Show, Master and Commander, and The Way Back. But most of these movies, I have no idea what the fuck they are.
He did Master and Commander. That's where I've seen his name before.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to, I mean, we keep racking up, but I'd like to revisit that. I haven't seen that. We saw it in the theater the week it came out.
I remember not liking it.
And it was kind of, I didn't dislike it. I was just kind of like, huh. Okay. I didn't know kind of what to think, and then I moved on.
We should watch Dead Poets Society because I've never seen that either. I don't know what that is about.
Yeah, I like Poets Who Lived.
Alive Poet Society.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, but I'd be down Master and Commander maybe someday.
Okay.
Anyways,
all right. Well, we're all over the place. Yes.
I do want to say something that blew my mind looking up behind the scenes for this movie as well.
Yeah.
I think we had a rift on this before. I can't remember.
Oh, no.
I am unabashedly a Dennis Hopper nut.
Uh-oh.
I love Dennis Hopper.
Yeah.
And did you know the bullet you dodged with this movie?
No, I didn't.
He was Christoph.
Oh, thank God.
He got the role.
Save the movie.
And you know what happened?
They realized he sucked and cut
him. No. Day one, they shot. He was in the movie on set. No way. And he walked off set. He didn't like it. He's like, all right, fuck this, and left. And they were like, who else we got? Ed Harris will do it. Okay. That's how it happened.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Save the movie.
I think it would have been, Dennis Hopper would have been so good in that role.
Nah.
You're there, Truman. I see you. Oh, baby wants to fuck.
Yeah, I don't like Dennis Hopper.
You will.
I don't know.
You need to see more. We're going to do the Mario movie on here.
Yeah. Ugh. God.
We're going to do,
Okay, wait. There is a psychoanalytic interpretation of this. Prototypical adolescent at the beginning of the movie, he feels trapped in... Wait. An essay published in the National Journal of Psychoanalysis... Oh, it doesn't matter. Never mind. I thought they were telling me what the Truman name was, like the syndrome, but I can't do it. Mm-hmm. Maybe the Truman syndrome.
The true man syndrome.
That's what I think it is. Something like that. Whatever.
I've got a syndrome.
It doesn't fucking matter.
Man.
Whatever. Yeah. Whatever. Anyways, let's talk. I'll do the Shakers first since I'm the one who picked it.
Yeah.
I thought this movie was... It's tragic and nice, and it's a lot of things. Everything in his life is fake. You feel bad for him the entire time.
Yeah.
But again, watching with Emma's boyfriend and seeing someone watch it with completely, like, has no idea what's going on, made me look at the movie completely differently. Just being like,
that's interesting.
Yeah. If you don't know what this is, then what are you watching?
Yeah.
And that was wild to me. I really like this movie. I thought it was well done, and it's a very fun concept that, I thought was great. I'm going to give it 4 Shakers. I like this movie a lot.
Watching this now, it really hit me when it ended. I always felt bad that I wrote it off, like I said, because I watched so many trailers or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I always felt bad that I wrote it off. And having finished it now, I owe young Rocco an apology.
Uh-oh.
That's not what it was.
Uh-oh, no.
It's kind of what I was saying earlier. I just feel like this doesn't go past the concept it gives you. Now, I haven't had the experience of watching it with someone who didn't know what it was. Mm-hmm. That's really cool. And I stand by that I think they breadcrumb it in a way that if you didn't know, it'd be really interesting to kind of discover that. But I already know the concept, so that, it is what it is. But I just think nothing in this goes past the brilliance of that concept, And I would say, like, if you had a room of guys here, like if I had a room of just dudes over here and I walked in and gave them the concept of, like, I'm going to say another movie with a great concept. Let's say The Matrix. Everything you know is not real. You're in a machine that they're whatever. No one would be able to write that movie. Like that's such a lightning in a bottle. What it became, you could, a guy realizes he's stuck in a computer. Okay, whatever. No one in that room would be able to come up with Agent Smith or him going crazy when he's interrogating Morpheus, the guy who holds the prophecy and, whatever. Like, no one would be able to come up with any of that stuff just on their own. It took a couple brilliant minds to do that. I feel like with this concept, if you gave that room of dudes this concept, they would come up with this movie every time. It just doesn't have anything really kind of unpredictable in it. He's going to test what is real and what's not with the weather. Well, the weather is acting weird. He's going to, they want him to fall in love with this person. He's going to fall in love with the wrong person. It doesn't get my imagination going. I realize it's less the previews and more just when you put this awesome concept in my head, I've already kind of seen the movie. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know. Not really. I mean, to me, it's like, the idea is interesting enough. I think that, like, him not falling in love with the right person would happen. Sure. But I don't need it. This is, this concept to me doesn't require me to be the Matrix. You know, I don't need it to have my mind blown or have some crazy. I just want a story about a guy who doesn't know he's being filmed his entire life.
Yeah.
And honestly, for me, what I enjoyed the most, I think, was the filmmaking aspect of like showing me where the cameras were.
Yeah.
All the different weird shots.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff I enjoyed way more now than I cared about as a kid.
Yeah, yeah. I just think it just never to me, it never to me hits me with something unexpected. I just it's all done well, but I never feel like it is tap dancing around my expectations. And it just doesn't excite me. And I ended up feeling a lot like I did as a kid, where I was like, oh damn, I feel like I ruined that for myself. But I now I'm like, no, I just don't think anything here really pulled me along in a way that I was fascinated by it. It's just kind of like, here's the concept, and there's it. There's where I felt like when we watched Teeth, and the girl has vagina teeth, and you're going, all right, what's she gonna do? Bite a dick off? And then they play the whole movie. It goes and it ends with she bites a dick off with it, and I'm like, damn, that should have been halfway through the movie. When I see this movie end, the ending, there's nothing wrong with the ending. Like, just as an ending, it's a perfectly good ending. And I really do love that last shot, especially. But I kind of feel like there's part of me that is like, I wish this was halfway through. Not that I need to see his life outside of the city. I don't literally mean that. But I just wish they had gone weirder sooner. That last 20 minutes is really exceptional. I just wish that had been earlier on. And then I don't know where the fuck it's going to go after that. Do you know what I mean? That's my feeling on
kinda,
it.
Kind of, but I do think you need him.
Yeah.
You need to see where his life was and what happened in it. So
totally. I don't disagree. I think if you compromise any of that, yeah, it wouldn't work as well. But I would have been down for a fucking 3-hour movie, this shit.
Mm.
If you would have taken it further than just the logical place it went to me. Not that I need it to be the Matrix, but it doesn't do anything that stokes my imagination to think like, what is going to happen next?
So you're saying this is what Rocco wanted. I'm just going to guess. He wanted Truman to kill his wife in that moment. No. And now what do you do? Because now he's a murderer and we've all seen him kill, but we put him in like the show jail, we put him in jail,
or he gets out halfway through the movie. He gets out of the city.
Yeah.
He gets to the fucking dude. Kill him. Fuck it. Do something crazy where he goes, oh my God, there's never been consequences before. What do I do? Throw like 10 more things at me that I'm like, I didn't think this movie would ever go here. I just think the way it is now, it's like, yeah, that's what I expected. So I don't know. I'm left cold. Fantastic concept, but I'm just left cold by it. I don't know what it is.
Doesn't resonate with you.
Yeah.
Well, what are you giving it?
I'm going to give it an extra point because the concept is so good and the performances are great. The cast is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I'll probably give it a 2.
Crazy. That's fine.
I just, for some reason it doesn't draw me in. But it's not a bad movie. Nothing here is bad. I'm creatively left a little hungry. That's why I would mark it down. But
all right,
that's where I sit with it.
Well, there you have it, everyone. And actually, it's called The Truman Show Delusion, and a psychiatrist said that he has met at least 5 patients who have seen the movie and now insist that they are just like Truman being filmed. So that we have figured that out. It's The Truman Show.
That's funny that wouldn't have a name before that, though, because I feel like that's probably been around.
But you know what? I don't think cameras were able to film you like that before.
Yeah.
I think this is a newer concept.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you saw The Truman Show. I loved it. Rocco felt a little cold. What are we picking next, Rocco?
We're going to leave Script. I think I'm just in a post script world.
Oh wow!
You're... I think no more scripts, no more writing. You want to talk? We're talking reality.
Yeah.
You like reality? We're going to give you a dose of it, a hard dose of it. We are going to watch a documentary, and we're going to get serious. We kid around a little too much on this show, I think, personally.
Oh, geez. Yeah, well,
we're gonna watch
your bit at the beginning made me uncomfortable. So yeah, I'm ready to be serious.
Yeah, I'm done with that. We need to watch a documentary about hard truths and hard reality. No matter what we feel or whether we like it or not, Showbiz Pizza is no more. There aren't any more locations.
I don't know.
Chuck E. Cheese is still around.
Right.
But Showbiz Pizza, back in the day, there was Showbiz Pizza and Chuck E. Cheese.
I don't remember Showbiz Pizza.
I think that was East Coast.
Showbiz Pizza. Yeah.
I think we had Chuck E. out here and Showbiz was over.
Okay, because I have no idea what the fuck that is.
Eventually later, they merged. And then it's just Chuck E. Cheese
bottom out.
And that's what happened.
Okay.
But when Showbiz was a thing, they had their own animatronic band. You know, we've seen that as, I think you probably saw as a kid, Chuck E. Cheese had an animatronic band.
Of course I saw that.
A lot of those used to be the Showbiz Pizza band, the Rockafire Explosion, an animatronic band that was an original creation by Creative Engineering, a company owned by Aaron Fechter, an animatronic inventor.
Okay.
And
so how does this relate to movies? Go ahead. I'm ready.
Well, this documentary covers what happened to the Rockafire Explosion. Is it still around? And it had its own group of fans that wouldn't let go of it. Where did they go? What happened when they merged with Chuck? Why did Chuck E. Cheese take over? Mm-hmm. Why did the band get turned into other characters? What was there's drama behind this industry, the animatronics at a pizza restaurant industry. Shit. We are going to find out what that was. The Rockafire Explosion documentary.
Where do you find that?
It is totally on you. Listen, there's some places that have done like a limited edition Blu-ray. I think Vinegar Syndrome did one. Or you could watch it free on YouTube right now. It's literally YouTube.
That's what I'll do. Yeah. It's just called Rockafire Explosion.
The Rockafire Explosion documentary, 2008. That's what we're going to watch.
Okay. Okay. Everyone, go to YouTube. I'm sure you know how to get there. And watch that, and we will see you next week. And in case I don't see ya, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
See, do something unexpected.
Fuck off.